Assalamu alaikum, I'm Asghar Sarmad and today we are here with Sir Mohis Amjad in Al Mawrid to discuss our sessions on character building. So sir, my question is that you said that our character depends on the environment we live in. So I want to ask, what about our prophets like Holy Prophet peace be upon him or Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, who lived in a negativity filled society but turned it into the positive one? So from where did they learn?
Okay, my idea is not that once you grow up in a certain environment, you're going to live your life exactly according to that environment. This is not what I meant. What I mean really is that the initial influences, for instance, when a child is born and for the first, let's say, 3 years, he or she is going to stay in the home environment. The most important influence during that time is going to be the household. You know, the parents, how they talk to each other, how they communicate with each other, how they communicate with the child, how they communicate with their helpers and all these things. This is what the child is going to observe. And this is the only thing that the child is going to observe during those 3 years. So this is how this is the first learning of the child. And these are the words which the household speaks most often, which the child will start speaking. This is the first influence. Now, as soon as the child starts getting exposed to the outside world, there are going to be other influences as well. And then you start going to the school, your teachers are going to influence you, the school environment is going to influence you. All these things are big influences in a child's life. So there are going to be multiple influences. What I meant was that there comes a time in life when a person is purely what others have influenced him to be. And then, as I just mentioned in the last session, that we start questioning what we have started believing. And when we start questioning what we have started believing, we start questioning the norms that we live in. For instance, is this right? Why is it that we say, for instance, that we should respect elders? Why is it that this person in tattered clothing who is working as a gardener in my home is not respected as my father is respected, although they are the same age? These questions start rising in a growing mind. So there comes a time when you start developing your own very individual approach towards, deciding things and making opinions about things. And if you refuse to think on your own, if you refuse to take decisions on the basis of your conscience, because as we mentioned again in the last program, that we are all endowed with a conscience which tells us what is right and what is wrong. And yet we have all been given the freedom to choose. We can choose to refuse to listen to our conscience simply and do what is going to benefit us, or do what is going to be according to the traditions of our family. As we start deciding about these things, we either become better people or we become adherent people, compliant people, compliant with the society's norms. These prophets that you mentioned, peace be upon them, they were people who grew up in their societies, but when they started questioning those things which were prevalent in those societies, they actually listened to their conscience, that these things are not right. And because they are not right, then we are not going to abide by what is happening in our homes. We are not going to abide by comply with what is happening in our society. We would simply do what we think and know to be right. This stand has to be taken. There comes a stage in your life when you'll need to take that stance. Sometimes you might need to take this stance in front of an elder. It can be a teacher. Sometimes it can be a parent. Again, you have to abide by the teachings of your religion, that you have to respect others, but you can clearly differentiate with them or express your differences with them in a respectful and a polite manner. And that is what religion would, that is what morality would, in fact, ask you to do. Have I answered your question?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. You can always ask a counter question if you feel that something really needs some more clarification.
सर कुछ रिलीजन्स जैसे कि ग्रीक गॉड्स थे वो चैम्पियन करते हैं ऑनर और आप किस तरह अपनी लाइफ को बैटल फील्ड के अंदर आप देते हो और अगर आप बैटल में ट्रू वॉरियर की तरह मरते हो तो आपको वालहाला में ले जाएंगे और आपको बहुत मतलब कि जन्नत है उनकी। लेकिन जैसे जो अब्राहमिक रिलीजन्स हैं इस्लाम जूडाइज्म क्रिश्चियनिटी ये एक तरह की स्लेव मोरालिटी को इनकी एक स्लेव मोरालिटी है जो कि कहती है कि आपको फॉरगिव करना चाहिए आपको लोगों की मदद करनी चाहिए कंपैशनेट होना चाहिए। लेकिन जो दूसरे रिलीजन्स हैं जैसे कि अभी मैंने मेंशन किया ग्रीक गॉड्स के उनके अंदर तो आपको मतलब कि अगर आप अब बंदों को वॉर के अंदर मारोगे उसको चैम्पियन किया जाता है तो आपके इसके बारे में क्या ख्याल आते हैं?
देखिए ये बिल्कुल ठीक है आपकी बात से इत्तेफाक है मुझे कि ये असल में होता क्या है कि हम अपनी सोसाइटीज़ को इस तरह से कंडीशन कर देते हैं। मिसाल के तौर पर हम ये जो बात है कि हम दूसरों के साथ ये मामला करेंगे दूसरी नेशंस के साथ और इससे हमारी नेशन बड़ी होती है और हमारी नेशन को जो बड़ा करने में जितना आपका जितना हम सब का कॉन्ट्रीब्यूशन होगा इस लिहाज से हम हीरोज़ बनेंगे। ये बेसिकली अगर आप गौर करें तो इसको कहते हैं हीनोथीज़म। ठीक है जी हीनोथीज़म का मतलब है कि HENO हीनोथीज़म हीनोथीज़म मींस कि हमारा एक गॉड है लिमिटेड टू अस दैट कैन बी योर नेशन। यानी ये समझ लें कि जो ग्रीक समझते थे वो उस वक्त दूसरे तो नहीं समझते होंगे ना। मतलब ऐसा नहीं है कि हीनोथीज़म जो ग्रीक्स के लिए गॉड था वो ग्रीस था। तो मिसाल के तौर पर अरब्स के लिए तो ग्रीस नहीं होगा ना वो गॉड वो तो अरब ही होगा। अगर आप तो वो जो इसकी वजह से इसको हीनोथीज़म कहते हैं कि ये हर ट्राइब का अपना अपना फिर होगा। ठीक है जी यानी अब आपकी बात पर आते हैं कि जो आपने ये फरमाया कि वो लोग जो हैं वो ग्रीस के लिए जान देने को वैल्यू समझते थे और वो कंपैशन उनके यहाँ वैल्यू नहीं थी। लेकिन क्या एक ग्रीक दूसरे ग्रीक के बारे में भी कंपैशनेट नहीं होगा या क्या ऐसा होगा कि हमको एक दूसरे इस सोसाइटी के अंदर भी वो वैल्यूज़ नहीं रखनी? जो इब्राहिमिक रिलीजन्स हैं उन्होंने क्या किया है कि उन वैल्यूज़ और उन प्रिंसिपल्स को यूनिवर्सल बनाया है कि ये चीज़ जो है जिसको मैं ठीक समझता हूँ वो अपने दुश्मनों के लिए भी ठीक है मेरे लिए। यानी मेरे दुश्मन भी असल में मेरे खुदा ही के बंदे हैं उनका खुदा कोई डिफरेंट बंदा यानी नहीं है। इस वजह से हम सब एक आदम की औलाद एक अल्लाह के क्रिएशन है वी शुड बी कंपैशनेट टुवर्ड्स एवरीवन। उसी प्रिंसिपल को उन्होंने यूनिवर्सल लेवल पर रखा जबकि अगर आप पिछली सोसाइटीज़ में जाएंगे तो वो जिस तरह मैंने अर्ज़ किया कि वो फिर अपने लिए तो कुछ ख़ास वैल्यूज़ हैं उनकी लेकिन दूसरों के साथ उनकी टर्म्स डिफरेंट हो जाएंगी। सो दिस इज़ वेयर द डिफरेंसेस लाई।
सर जैसे कि इस्लाम जब बॉर्न हुआ था मतलब कि आप सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम के टाइम पे जिसको अब लोग इस्लाम कहते हैं सर उस टाइम पे इस्लाम की एक्सपेंशन बहुत रैपिडली हुई थी और क्योंकि उसके अंदर भी आप सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम को और सहाबा को वॉर्स लड़ने पड़े थे डिफरेंट ट्राइब्स के साथ। लेकिन अगर आप दूसरे मुल्क के साथ लड़ो तो फिर वो मॉरली राइट नहीं है आप अपने वर्ड ऑफ गॉड को फैलाने के लिए आप दूसरों के साथ वॉर्स और बैटल्स कर रहे हो तो फिर सर आप इसके बारे में क्या कहेंगे?
देखिए जो एक तो ये समझ लीजिए कि जो पैगंबर सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम के ज़माने में जो वॉर्स हुई थी वो उसकी दो कैटेगरीज हैं जो क्लियरली कुरान मजीद ने उनको मेंशन किया है। एक वो वॉर्स हैं कि जिनके बारे में कुरान मजीद ये कहता है कि ये परसिक्यूशन के ख़िलाफ़ होंगी। ठीक है जी यानी अगर आपने एक सोसाइटी में रिलीजियस परसिक्यूशन की गई है तो उसके ख़िलाफ़ हम कर रहे हैं। परसिक्यूशन का मतलब ये है कि एक आदमी मुसलमान हो गया अब उसको जीने नहीं दिया जा रहा या एक ग्रुप मुसलमान हो गया उसको अपने इस्लाम को छुपाना पड़ रहा है इस वजह से। और ये किसी भी रिलीजन के ख़िलाफ़ अगर ऐसी सिचुएशन पैदा हो जाए तो मुसलमानों को उसके ख़िलाफ़ आवाज़ उठानी चाहिए। सबसे इम्पॉर्टेंट बात तो ये। दूसरी चीज़ जो है वो ये कि ये असल में एक पैगंबर की एडवेंट के बाद पैगंबर के आने के बाद रसूल खुदा के एक रसूल के आने के बाद अल्लाह ताला के कानून रिसालत की एप्लीकेशन थी जो वॉर अब मैं और आप नहीं लड़ सकते। ठीक है जी यानी यूं समझ लीजिए कि जो बदर है वो खुदा ने जिस कानून के तहत उस वॉर का हुक्म दिया है वो कानून प्राइमरीली वो कानून मेरे लिए नहीं अप्लाई होता वो पैगंबर का कानून है उसको यौमुल फुरकान कहा गया है। यानी ये वो दिन है कि जिस दिन हम तफरीक कर देंगे ठीक और गलत की, यू नो, आपस में तुम्हारे सामने अपेरेंट बना देंगे उस डिफरेंस को. और इसमें तमाम लीडरशिप का खात्मा कर दिया. यानी आम जंगें वो हैं कि जिसमें सोल्जर्स मरते हैं, जनरल्स वापस जाते हैं, ठीक है, लेकिन वो जंग थी कि जिसमें सारे जनरल्स मर गए, उनके सारे लीडर्स जो थे उनका खात्मा हो गया, और इसके बाद और सारे सोल्जर्स जनरली बच गए. यानी यूँ समझ लीजिए कि वो वॉर्स थी कि जो डिफरेंट हैं. अब आपने जो सवाल किया है उसका एक और भी एस्पेक्ट है, वो उसका ताल्लुक सेकंड लेवल की जो हिस्ट्री है हमारी, जिसमें कि सहाबा का दौर है और जिसमें ये कॉन्क्वेस्ट शुरू हुई हैं. फिर इसके बारे में जो मेरे उस्ताद की राय है, बिकॉज बीइंग अ रिलीजियस क्वेश्चन मैं इसके बारे में डायरेक्टली बहुत ज़्यादा नहीं जानता हूँ, लेकिन मेरे उस्ताद की जो राय है वो ये है कि ये कॉन्क्वेस्ट जो थी ये असल में हज़रत इब्राहिम के साथ उस वादे की एप्लीकेशन थी कि जो हज़रत इब्राहिम के साथ बाइबल में हुआ था. यानी उनकी जनरेशन, उनकी प्रोजनी को, उनकी औलाद को अल्लाह ताला ने ये कहा कि एक ख़ास इलाका दुनिया का दिया जाएगा, जिसको कि हज़रत सुलेमान के ज़माने में यूनाइटेड किंगडम कहा जाता था, यूके. आज का यूके तो ये है ना, जो जिसको ब्रिटिश एम्पायर जो है, लेकिन वो यूनाइटेड किंगडम और है कि जो, और फिर उसी की एप्लीकेशन हज़रत मोहम्मद सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम की वफ़ात के बाद, के दुनिया से रुख्सत होने के बाद सहाबा ने आपके हुक्म के मुताबिक फिर की, और फिर उस एरिया को कि जो उन्होंने डिमार्केशन कर दी हुई थी, उस एरिया को कॉन्कर किया. इसका इस हद तक ख्याल रखा गया कि ईरान तक अगर उन्होंने डिमार्केट की थी तो ईरान को कॉन्कर किया, लेकिन उसके साथ जो बाउंड्री लगी हुई थी इंडिया की, उधर एंटर नहीं हुए. ठीक है जी. इट वॉज क्लियरली डिमार्केटेड बाय द प्रॉफेट मोहम्मद सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम. उन लोगों को खतूत लिख दिए गए थे और उन खतूत के नतीजे में फिर उन्हीं जगहों पर ये कॉन्क्वेस्ट्स हुई. और इसमें जो दो चीज़ें हैं जिनका ख्याल रखना है, क्योंकि ये जो दौर है जिसकी हम बात कर रहे हैं, ये वो दौर है कि जिसमें जो रूलर है वो असल में डिसाइड करता है कि हमारी नेशन की या हमारी कौम का रिलीजन क्या होगा, और अगर वो नहीं मानते तो उनको प्रोसिक्यूट किया जाता था. तो ये कॉन्क्वेस्ट थी, इसके नतीजे में जनरली जो हुआ है वो ये हुआ है कि रूल को ख़त्म कर दिया गया, दूसरों के रूल को ख़त्म कर दिया गया और लोगों को आज़ाद छोड़ दिया कि वो जो मज़हब चाहें इख्तियार करें. दिस इज़ ये वो हिस्ट्री का वर्जन ऑब्वियसली है कि जो मुसलमानों का वर्जन है. आप अगर दूसरा वर्जन देखेंगे तो शायद आपको डिफरेंट मिलेगा.
Sir, I want to ask, how does our school and our education system affects our character?
I don't know your education system. I don't know how it affects your character. But I can tell you how does school in general. You see, we consider our teachers, those who work in the school to be our role models, as we mentioned last time. Everyone amongst us is a role model to some extent. Everyone, even you as students, we affect each other, we influence each other. You know, our way of talking, our way of walking, our way of, you know, interacting with people. Someone might be looking at you and learning how do you do that. Someone might idealize you. Likewise, we idealize our teachers at many times. Even if we don't idealize them, we are influenced by what they are doing, how they behave, how they act, how they walk, how they interact with students. If you want to find that out, if you have a younger sister or brother at home, you can just find out how the teacher treats them by asking them to play teacher with you, you know, and where you become a student and they become a teacher and you start telling them to change subjects. Let's say you ask them to let's play English class now. So they will start behaving like their English teacher at that time. They will start talking in the language, you know, and they will start speaking the way their English teacher speaks. You can find out how the English teacher treats them. Just like that, you know, we get influenced by the the role models in our institutions. We get influenced by the environments, the norms of the environments in our institutions. For instance, I think one of the biggest lessons that we learn from school is that respect is for the elders. We must respect elders. You don't deserve any respect as a student. Elders deserve respect as elders. You know, teachers deserve to be respected. And then again, what we learn from these environments most of the time is that respect is given to status, not to human beings. If a person has a higher status, that person will be respected more, even though he's not as old as the other person. You know, so these are the influences from the environments. These are silent, subtle messages, subliminal messages that become a part of our personality. That is how, number two, how the schools or institutions or households impact us. And number three is the kind of relationships that we have. Most of the times what I've seen generally in households as well as in institutions, what I've seen is that people are more concerned with behaviors. If you have done something wrong, like for instance, we are more interested to find out if our children have offered their prayers. This is an action. We can observe that. We can see if they have prayed or not. But what we cannot see is what were they thinking while they were praying. You know, and unless we develop a very congenial and a very safe relationship with them, they are not going to share with us. You know, you will find it very difficult to share, the hidden secrets of your motives sometimes with your teachers or your parents, because you believe that they might judge you, you know. And unless we feel safe and we feel that we are not going to be judged, we don't want to trust others with our inner feelings. So what really is going to develop your character is not what you're doing, but what is happening inside you. It is your internal processes, your thoughts, your feelings, your motives, your inspirations. What is it that really moves you? All these things are inside you. I cannot see them, but they are the real driving force in your life. And if I were to develop a very good relationship with you, then you might be able to share them with me, but only if we have a very trusting relationship. Otherwise, you're not going to do that, because you'd feel that I'll judge you. I'll think that you're a very, you know, because opening up is basically showing the other person my own vulnerability, that I have my weaknesses. And I don't want to show my weaknesses, because this is one of the lessons that we learn from our institutions, that you don't need to show your vulnerabilities or your weaknesses to others. You know, you should keep them to yourself, hide them, project a very strong face to others. This is what we learn. So these are the impacts, these are some of the dangerous impacts that our institutions and households can have on us. Unless we become very conscious of them, unless we become very conscious and we start developing, norms which are coming out of a lot of critical thinking. How do we teach good character? Because if the stress is on getting good grades, then we cannot take the longer route of developing character. We cannot afford that. This is a tragedy, but it is true.
So my question is, the grade system that is imposed in our society, when a student face any failure or victory, how does that thing affect on its character in any way?
The grade system. The grade system. Okay. You see, grades basically, they come from our inability to create criteria for judging learning. We could not understand, we still cannot understand, we are still looking for ways of finding out whether you have learnt what I was trying to tell you or not. So what we did was, after a semester of learning, after a semester of teaching, I would like to test whether you have learnt or not. And then the way that I came about doing that was that I would give you a test which you would take, and I will grade that test 3 hours, 2 hours, 1.5 hours, whatever time it takes. And I will grade that and I will find out whether you have passed that test or not. Now, first of all, the grades that we give, they are very subjective. The test that I gave you was subjective to begin with. The grades that I've given you is a subjective thing, because I'm going to grade you according to my information and what I've taught you. I'm not grading you according to what you thought was right. You know, I want you to give a particular answer, and only that answer is going to be right. This thing about our schools that only one answer is right is again a disconnection from life. The real life problems, most of them, are such problems in which there is no one answer. You can have various ways. If I were to ask you, what are the various ways you can reach home from here? There can be more than 10 ways of doing that. Some ways can be better from others, you know, as compared to others. But they can be, these are all correct ways. But in our education, what we do is we try to fix what is going to be the right answer. And the right answer is what the teacher thinks to be the right answer. It is not what you think. We are not testing you according to your understanding. We are testing you according to your memory. Now, what happens later on is that once you get a good grade, you develop the idea that you are probably an intelligent student. And those who do not get a good grade, they develop the idea that they are probably not intelligent. There is a problem. And unfortunately, starting from the very beginning, these were very subjective judgments. And we are all different. The most important thing is that how can we be judged on one criteria when we are all different? We should be given separate things to work on, and we should be judged on separate standards because we are different, we are unique. But unfortunately, we don't have that kind of a leverage in our education system, because our education system is not meant to promote learning, it is meant to grade people. Why do we need to grade? I don't know. I really don't understand that. To be very honest, I don't know. Why do we need to grade? I can understand that after certain tests, after certain exams, you need to be graded so that you can get admitted to various institutions where there is going to be a merit list. Again, how would you, as a student, how would you feel would be the right answer to this question? That do you think that a student who is more intelligent needs a better teacher than a student who is less intelligent? Who should be given a better teacher? A student who needs more attention or a student who needs less attention? More attention. It is the opposite in our education system. You see, the students in the higher grades will be sent to an institution where you'll find better teachers because they got good marks. The students who don't really need more attention are given more attention because they got good grades. Why? Because we are not interested in their learning. We are interested in their grades. You know, that is what is going to get us students in the next year, because if we can sort of put pictures of our students with marks, under every person's name, that this is the kind of result that we produced, that is going to be our marketing strategy for getting more students the next year. So we are not really interested in learning. We are interested in getting grades. So as soon as you grade students, learning gets into the background. It is taken to the background. And unfortunately, then all the system, the whole system, whether it is assessment of teachers or students, it all boils down to the examination results, and it ultimately results in putting our influences on character in the back seat as well. Because character, like learning, cannot be taken through a shortcut. It cannot be. It is more like agriculture, you know. You keep watering the plants, and the plants are going to take their time in growing up, and ultimately they will grow up. You see, the most effective learning that you ever had in your life is in the first 3-4 years of your life when you were not even graded. You were never taught that language which you learned on your own natural abilities, right? You didn't have any problems in learning that language because that was your natural ability to learn. And then you were given an environment where you were graded, and if you did well, you felt that you could achieve more, and you felt more motivated. If you didn't do well in the initial stages in a particular subject, you never liked that subject again. Isn't that right? So we all have that potential. We all have that ability to learn. I have learned many subjects after my formal education because I felt interested in learning them. And during my education, I never was interested in them. Grading can be a hindrance in learning, a serious hindrance in learning. But grading can be a big asset in marketing an institution.
And that's all for today's session. Hope you learned many things with us. Until then, wait for the next session. Thank you.